This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
If Don gets the Devil's job, that's also going to lead to some problems.
The Devil's commitment. TV job is open?
Yes.
And Don wants it?
The era of Don, I think, ends. There was talk as to who replaces Don.
Who could possibly replace Don? They'd probably go to you.
Can you imagine how quickly Rick would want to leave Dave?
I think Rothenberg would be the better fit.
But I guess management just stepped up and said the morning show will not be broken up.
And I would say the same thing. I'd say I have a partner. I'm locked in. I'm sorry.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Until they offered you a big bag of money, you'd be like, okay, Rick, thanks. Enjoy the mornings.
That's right.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's air the dirty laundry first before we get back to the sports. 1-800-919-3776. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So apparently Don is going for the Devil's job. That's probably his dream job. He grew up a Devils fan.
Well, he said he hasn't gone for it yet.
Well, he's probably going to. Why would he not go for it?
Well, that's what I said.
Well, who is calling the Devils, though? Steve Cangelosi?
Yep.
What happened to Steve?
He's stepping down.
You didn't run him over, did you?
No, I did not. No, it was 11 years, and he's the... I think he's doing soccer now? I think he's going to stay on with soccer?
Yes, the Red Bulls, I believe.
He's going to stay on with that. And they're looking for a new partner for Kenny Danico.
Okay, so they're looking for a new partner. So if Don takes that job, Don then leaves the case show. They discussed it yesterday. Let's take a listen to what they discussed, and then we'll get into the DeGrom and the Judge stories, Lindor as well. Here is the Michael K show on Rick stepping right in and taking Don's job.
I'm going to be giving opinions for a long, long time, Michael. Where am
Do
I
you
going?
Know, Peter, that I was texted by an executive. I'm not breaking up my morning show. Can you imagine how quickly Rick would want to leave Dave? Like they say, do you want to join Michael? Yes.
Do you know that, just throw this out there, I know you love the man. Do you know that we'd want to work with Rick every day?
I would want to live with him every day.
Yeah. See, that's not true.
See, you don't blank where you eat, so I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Rick would be a lot of fun to work.
But you have no idea what he's like to work with. Zero idea.
I didn't have any idea what you were like to work with.
It happened to work out.
Yes, it
but
did.
But it is a total crapshoot. It's a total crapshoot.
Well, anytime you hire somebody for this kind of job, it's a total crapshoot.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know who Don was going to be when they had him.
Oh, you didn't have any respect for me.
Right. They didn't know who he was either. They thought he was coming in to fix the vending machines.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, do you want to do an update?
Which he's very good at.
Great vending machine guy.
You get like the M&M stuck, you get Don involved.
That's right. He just does like a full body block.
Right, or forget the vending machine. You just come into the studio and you have the you stick in the quarter and then you have the M&Ms that are like 40 years old.
Have you ever done that though?
Handful of those M&Ms.
Yeah, that's very sanitary in this day and age. So that's on you potentially taking Don's spot. Apparently, there was a text sent by upper management that they would not break up this very show. Let's take a listen to that one.
If for some reason they needed to break up the morning show, they would break it like a Bo Jackson bat over their leg.
I was told by the person that would have to make that decision, I'm not breaking up my 5 to 8 show.
No.
So, yeah, 5 to 8, okay. It's a wonderful time, and it's important for the station. But I think Rick would be allowed to come on the show when Don leaves.
It wouldn't work. I don't picture a show in which Rick presents real opposition to you. That's what makes you and Don so special. The fact that you guys disagree so often, yet have the comfort to be able to really fight like cats and dogs. As much as you pretend you and Rick are close, not. And I think he'd get up here and be sort of subservient to you. I don't know that he's the fit. I think Rothenberg would be the better fit from a fighting perspective. Don, am I making sense?
You don't need a yes man.
I just got a text from Rick. True. I'm on the phone right now with the Devils, begging that Don gets the job.
See? Wow, what a nice guy doing that just for you, Don.
So you want that job? That's what we just learned.
No. What do you mean no? No, I want Don to get the Devil's job.
You want Don to get the Devil's job so you can bow at the altar of Michael K.
No, I wouldn't bow at the altar of Michael K. Why couldn't Don do both?
How?
That's the other question. What do you mean? How can he do both? Michael does it. How could he not?
No. Now he's going to start traveling all over the place. Michael does it on a station that is you know, we're in bed with Yes. The show's on Yes.
Well, and his games are on Yes.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I don't think it works. So he gets that Devil's job. You step right in, and I'll do the show with Buster.
No, you're not going to do the show with Buster. The show is me and you. Why are you taking that out of that clip as opposed to them being so disrespectful to our time slot? That's the troubling part.
Well, because they're disrespectful to anything. Anything that is not their big 3-7, they're disrespectful to.
And when does Don, I missed all the time that he disagrees with Michael. This fighting like cats and dogs.
They always go at it.
No, they don't.
No?
No. Mm. Very rarely. I mean, the most upset they get is when they talk about his name not being on the show. That's pretty much it.
But you would never go after Michael. It would be nauseating.
No, of course I would. If he made a point that I disagreed with, of course I would go after him.
Like, if I make a point you disagree with, you call me an idiot and you go after me. He makes a point, you'd be like, excuse me, sir, I don't agree with exactly what you've just said there.
Because I have respect for people.
So you respect him and you don't respect me. So the guy you work with every day, no respect. The guy that you hold on a pedestal, that's where you have your respect.
You big mad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, great. So now at least we've now ironed it out.
See, but you let them do what they were trying to do, which is break the show apart. They're the bad guys. They're the ones that were being disrespectful to our time slot, not me.
Well, I heard that they thought I'd be a better fit than you, and I appreciate
that. You had Peter. I mean, come on.
Because Peter knows.
No, Peter knows. Peter,
no, because Michael's all wrapped up in the aura that is you. When you get down to nuts and bolts, you need real quality assessment in the world of sports. They go to me.
He's a legitimately nice man.
That's what we need. It's just what we all need.
Oh, yes, Michael. You're a yes man. Nobody wants a yes man.
And plus, they wouldn't waste you. They wouldn't waste another driver at the station. That's the other thing you got to take into
account.
That's very valid. To put two drivers on the same show?
You can't.
Couldn't do that.
Station falls apart.
Well, so if I were to go, who would you want?
Trust me. It falls apart. I'm listening last night. We're breaking down. We're doing a full breakdown of the PGA Championship.
Who did that?
I was into it. I love the PGA Championship.
I'm sure there were tens of people that were into it. Really? tens
I
tens
go
of
away,
people.
This show dies.
A station could die. There's a chance the station dies if you go away.
I am hot. All right. Can we please get into DeGrom?
Listen, you're driving this thing, buddy.
I'm trying.
Try harder.
Boom.
Let's go.
Deer. Oh. Here is
right
Billy Epler.
Deer.
The Mets general manager. Give us the update, Billy. What did the MRI show from one Jacob DeGrom?
We're pleased with what we saw yesterday. That was good. I was happy to get that news last evening, and I didn't want to bother everybody at 9 o'clock last night. Figured some of you might have had plans or something and been doing some things, so I just waited till this morning just to let everybody know that it was good. So he's going to get to move back further and throw harder, and so those are good things.
So that's good news.
Yeah, it's great news. I mean, as long as he doesn't take a step back.
That's right.
There's no rush.
No rush. You're playing well. Now, do we even have an update with McGill?
McGill was put on the IL.
I know, but they were going to do an MRI and give us an update. I haven't seen that.
No, he already had. No, did he have the? I thought he had.
Did he have the MRI and they gave us results?
Maybe I'm thinking about May.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he's on the IL. I don't know we have a full update on him. So regardless. You're going to lose him for at least some semblance of time. But if you told me right now, I'm going to get good, regular, healthy DeGrom on August 1, I would take that.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It just that there's no reason to rush this thing. You realize how important he is. I mean, this is one of those injuries that it's not like you just, you can rush through it. The bone has to heal, especially with how hard he throws.
Right. And the
bone
is
healing. That's the scary part.
So RJ just gave me an update on McGill. RJ, give that to everyone.
It's right bicep tendon.
Yeah, but no structural damage whatsoever.
No structural damage.
So that's very good news. All right, more from Epler. Will DeGrom need another MRI?
The doctors prescribe one, then we'll do it, obviously, but I'll put that in their hands. But right now, it's just a matter of letting them step back further, throw harder, and then again, treating the patient more than anything else. So just how does he feel? How does the scapula feel under a little bit more stress, which will come with that distance and velocity?
Could be a long time in between starts for him, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be a long time.
It's going to be like a year.
Well, look at the positive. I mean, there's no when you're going to need him the most, which is, obviously stretch run into the postseason, that he'll be rested. Right?
Which is phenomenal. Well, I said that to Buster. I don't know if you remember this, and I got, that's a great question. I said, could you look at this as somewhat of a blessing in disguise that when you get to the biggest games of the year, hopefully you'll have a fresh and rested and healthy Jacob DeGrom? And he responded. That's a great question. That's a great point.
Well, that's the only way to look at it. I mean, how else would you look at it? Right? I mean, that's the hope is that, I mean, Scherzer's been really good. Bassett's been really good. McGill was good. I mean, the pitching staff has been good. So now all of a sudden I'm going to get the best pitcher in baseball back?
That's right. It's going to be like the biggest trade at the deadline.
Yeah. Let's just throw every cliche around today.
Right. As long as you can keep your head above water, right?
You have to. Maybe we should sing about it.
I've done that. It's my biggest
single. Keeping your head above water.
Yeah.
It's my big single. We got to get that the Mets clubhouse, maybe.
Put that on the speaker.
Get Buck to play that.
Thank you for being a friend. They could have, like, my best hits.
I just get nervous with this kind of injury, though, with him. Everything that happened last season.
Of course you do.
Everything that happened last season, how hard he throws, it seems like he's resistant to maybe dialing it back a little bit. That he just puts so much, I mean, he just puts so much stress on his arm and everything around it.
Have you ever seen when they, I'm sure you have, so this is kind of rhetorical, when someone throws and they do, like, a slow motion
yes.
of the arm?
Yep.
And how unnatural it looks?
Yeah.
And the torque and just the release and the elbow and the muscle, it's so abnormal. And for him, it's even more so because he throws so hard.
He throws so hard, so consistently. That's the thing, too. It's like, it's not like, you know, he's in the amount of pitches at that kind of velocity, right? Like, it's not, you know, every couple days, you know, he's coming out of the bullpen and he's giving you, you know, one inning thrown on, you know, 99, 100. I mean, he's coming out and he's throwing. I mean,
yeah, it's giving you seven innings, 100 pitches, right?
His average velocity on his four seam fastball was, I mean, 99 miles an hour. That's
crazy.
Silly.
Now, let me ask you this, and I still have the other question that's dangling, which we'll get to in a little bit about best player in baseball. Where does Judge rank? DeGrom says he's going to opt out. For argument's sake, DeGrom comes back, is great, makes some starts, has to shut it down again. Not right. Still opts out. What do you do?
I don't think he opts out at that point.
So you think if he comes back, has a setback, now he opts in. He stays in.
I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, if he hadn't pitched since, I mean, he didn't pitch the whole second half last year, hasn't
Correct.
Pitched at all now. If he comes back, makes two starts, and then gets hurt again, how do you opt out? Who's giving you a long-term deal at the kind of money he would want?
You would think nobody.
No, he'd have to come back. However many starts it is, whatever it is, and then carry this team through the postseason, pitch great, and then, yeah.
And then it's an Aaron Judge situation. Then it's a blank check.
You know what? I was thinking about this Aaron Judge situation, too, during break. Like, think about this if you're Aaron Judge. And I get it. He stayed in school, so, I mean, he's a free agent at 30. I get all that. And the numbers will tell you, as you're in your 30s, you decline. But I'm sitting here in the same city where Francisco Lindor signs a 10-year deal, which, oh, by the way, will take him to 37. For $341 million.
Right.
I got a guy on my team who signs a 9-year deal that will take him to, 37 years old for $36 million a year. And me, the homegrown guy who's come up through the franchise, is the captain of your team, is one of the faces of baseball. You offer me a fair deal for 30 a season. Come on, man.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more.
Of course he's pissed.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's get back to the calls. Nick in Long Island. Nick, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. I just wanted to redeem the name Nick on this show. Real quick, I think Starlin Marte is a great player. I think he brings a ton of things to the Mets team besides at the plate. He steals bases. He's a specimen in the outfield. I think he's great. Real quick.
The Yankees would love to have Starlin Marte in their outfield right now.
I wanted him so badly last year when he was on the block and the Yankees just didn't get him, obviously. But I'm glad that he's still in New York. But I think it's obvious that the top six batters in the Yankees lineup are pretty much carrying the team. And then you got Gallo, the catchers, and Hicks, who, you know, they get their timely hits here and there, but they're not really doing anything special to talk about. And then obviously Judge is just out of control. And then real quick, if I could just tell a deer hitting story.
Yeah,
real quick.
We love those, please. Yeah, we're open for confessions.
What today's all about, buddy.
I was up in school in Massachusetts, and it was late at night, and I was driving my buddy. We hit a deer, and we were probably like 10 minutes away from my school. So my buddy was big into hunting, and I was driving. I didn't have a pickup truck. He had a pickup truck back at school. So we hit the deer, we get out, confirm it's dead, and it wasn't like bleeding out too bad. So he's like, yo, let's go back to school. We'll grab my truck and we'll come back and we'll take the deer. So we go back to school, grab his truck, come back, and we skin the deer and took the meat in the street and use the meat for some venison.
Well, was the deer alive when you returned
to
the scene?
No, it was dead. No, they skinned a live deer, Dave.
Well, I don't know. We could have Hannibal Lecter on the line.
The deer passed away, Dave.
The deer was dead by the time we got back. But you have to when you do that, you have to skin it and take
bleed
the meat
out
before it bleeds out too much, and then so it doesn't the meat doesn't get like ruined. So he knew what he was doing. I was kind of
You ate the meat.
Yeah. So we froze like a lot of the steaks, and then he had like a what's it called
sausage jerky
We made some jerky. I forget what the machine is called that takes the juices out of the meat to make
delicious.
The jerky. But it worked out. It worked out pretty well for college students.
You dehydrated it. Yeah.
Dehydrated. Yes. He had like a little dehydrator. Yeah. It was great.
This guy had everything going
on
in this. How big was your dorm room that he had all this set up?
It wasn't that big. He had like it was like a mini fridge looking dehydrator. So it made probably like, I don't know, like a few pounds of jerky, but it worked out for us. It was great.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks for the call and thanks for that update. And that's straight
talk. Nick and his buddy are so much better than you. I mean, you killed a deer. You just
can I finish a read though? Just
no.
Deer once. Can I ever finish one?
Reads. There's a show's
straight talk brought to you. Please. Am I going to have Santiago to pot you down now?
Please give me for like an hour and 45 minutes. Just pop
give
me
you
right
the
down.
Nick treatment. That was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg presented as always by Progressive Insurance, and cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, forget about that. It feels great, and you should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. He said something that there is no chance that ever you would say to me, all right, here you go, Rothenberg, skin this deer, that I could do something like that. No chance. You could pay me $50,000 and I wouldn't know what the hell I was doing skinning a deer.
How would you, though? Like, how would Dave Rothenberg today, like this Dave Rothenberg, ever know how to skin an animal?
I would not.
I mean, you watch a lot of serial killer documentaries, so maybe you've seen something like it. You have no clue.
No clue.
His buddy was a hunter. That's why he knew.
I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think RJ could do it. I don't think Greg could do it. I think the only hope we would have on this show is that you could skin the deer.
Well, yeah, I can't. I don't think I would be good. I've never done it before.
I've never done it before either. I certainly could not do it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The wet blanket, RJ Santillo.
I can't tell you how many times we'll talk Jets. We'll go to break and RJ will say, where are these wins coming from? They're not winning these games.
Well, because he's looking at the same schedule that we're looking at, as opposed to the whatever schedule everyone else is looking at. That was startling, though. Like that information that he sent us today is startling. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
it's with the FBI.
It's rough. But how do you really buy into all the, like PFF, FPI? I mean, all that stuff. You always.
Well, no, but not all the time. No, I you know I don't because I played. But I mean, when I have, you know, Orlovsky, and then we have, you know, we have Mel and everyone else who was talking about, you know, Zach Wilson making this huge jump, and we love what they did in the draft and in the offseason, and, you know, Carl Lawson will be back, like all these different reasons why. And then we sit down, we look at the schedule, talk about the AFC. I mean, their first month of the season is the entirety of the AFC North and everything else. And then as a Jets fan, you're like, you're cautiously optimistic. And then RJ sends me this with the FPI rankings. And this is, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into this, but I have.
What is FPI, by the way? Football Power Index?
Yes. Okay. So the Giants check in at number 22. Okay. The Jets ranked number 31.
Oof.
Says FPI
but I
ratings.
I guess my question would be, why?
It says, like, FPI ratings, the Bears and Jets are tied with the highest odds to have the top pick in next year's draft.
Which is, what, 14%, right?
Yeah.
That's not promising.
That would be a huge problem.
So here's what I will say. And it has to be. They don't think Zach Wilson is good at all.
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think you haven't seen enough.
If Zach Wilson is good, there's zero chance the Jets have the first pick or a top five pick in the draft.
See, I agree with you, but I mean, how much have you seen? Like, if we're focused strictly on analytics and numbers, strength of schedule, teams, you know, opponents that you're playing, and everything else, like, have you really seen enough from Zach Wilson to feel great about it?
No. I absolutely believe that there is reason for just at a minimum unknown, at most concern about Zach Wilson. But if they're going to have this FPI where they're 31st and they're picking, you know, one or have the best chances to have a top three pick or whatever it is, then it's clear to me what the problem is. Because their offensive line looks really good, right? It was good last year and it's better now. They've got a running back that you liked and they add another piece to that. The receiving core is as good as it's been in years, and you have multiple tight ends that you like. So the one outlier is the quarterback.
Well, it's also the defense, though, too. Let's not forget that. I mean, the defense was historically bad last year.
Okay, but look what you added. You had Carl Lawson, who's, like, brand new. He's never played with the Jets before, right? You added Jermaine Johnson. You added Sauce Gardner. I mean, you added real pieces to this defense.
But don't do that, though. But, again, I think that partly plays into, what FPI does, too, though. It's like, okay, all of a sudden, Jermaine Johnson's just going to jump right in and have an immediate. Like, that's not always the case. That's a lot to put on rookies.
But I'm not sitting here saying there's going to be a 10-win team. I'm just sitting here saying, if this team is picking first, Zach Wilson stinks.
Or a combination of both.
Or they all stink.
Or all of the above, yeah.
I'll tell you what, if the Jets are picking top three, I think Joe Douglas is just bad at his job.
Yeah, we failed miserably, if that's the case. Especially with all the positive reports coming out about Zach Wilson. He put on 8 pounds of muscle and everything else. He's traveling around, you know, throwing to his wide receivers, building up those relationships. But again, I mean, when you look at their schedule, there's something to be said, though, early on in the season, too, getting some momentum, feeling good about yourself, and you're playing, you know, four games against the AFC North.
It's a tough start. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? Week two, we don't know what that's going to be. I assume that Deshaun Watson will not be in that game. And again, even if you're the Jets, you start out 2-5 or 2-6 or whatever. It's not about going to the playoffs this year. It's about the maturation process. So that can still be answered even in the middle of the season.
No, I know, but it's not just about the quarterback, too. Like, I mean, there are a guy, you go into an NFL season hoping to win, and if all of a sudden you get off to a 2-5 start or whatever it ends up being, I mean, that's not always easy to climb out of. Right? I mean, that's the last thing you want to do. With all these high hopes, expectations, all of a sudden you get punched in the face, and then you look up and you start the season 0-4 or whatever it is. That's not great.
That would be bad. That would be bad. But if you're picking one, something horrendously has happened.
Yeah. Really bad.
Just really bad. All right, so I asked you before. All players on the table. Best player, Major League Baseball. You're going Trout 1?
Trout 1, yeah.
And then where do you go?
I don't know how you couldn't go Trout 1.
No, I agree with you. And then where do you go?
Oh, where do I go? Right after Trout?
Right after Trout. You going Judge? I mean, at the moment, Judge is a better baseball player than Juan Soto.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it during the breaks. I mean, I have a hard time the way Judge is playing, how important he is to this team. Plays multiple positions now. How he's not right there at the top of the list.
Otani,
yeah. I mean, Byron Buxton's having a good start to the season.
But Byron Buxton is not Aaron Judge.
Byron Buxton is damn good, man.
He's terrific. But you talk about injury concerns with Judge. Well, Buxton is always hurt.
Bryce Harper, I mean, I'd have him on that list.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, though. And here's the thing I think that separates Aaron Judge from most. And almost, I don't want to say from Mike Trout, because I just think Mike Trout isn't, I don't know how willing he is to kind of take that next step to being like a true superstar. But Aaron Judge is an attraction, man. Like Aaron Judge will get kids to become fans instantly. Like he did with my kid. Like there's just something about Aaron Judge, his size, whatever it is. I mean, it's just that freak show quality. Seems like he's a good guy. He's got a great smile with his new fake teeth. Like it's just like the entire package.
Yeah, he's got
just,
it all going on. He's
but it's
got
more
it
than
all
just
going
the,
on.
But the Yankees recognized that early. I mean, they couldn't wait to get that out in right field. They didn't do that. Have they done that for anyone else?
What, would they do like the Judge's Chambers and that kind of stuff?
They haven't done that for anyone else, have they?
No, because that almost feels like it's bigger than the Yankees, and they never want to put that out there.
But they did it.
They
recognized
it.
They
did with him. They did with him. And now they're gonna. I mean, my God, I don't know how much money he's gonna get, but he's gonna get a Brinks truck backed up onto his front lawn.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We are moments away from Stump Rothenberg. I think last week was a sensational showing, if you remember.
I am too smart. I am too smart.
You remember that?
Yeah, last week was nice.
Very good showing.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are good. I mean, it depends on the questions, and sometimes, I mean, when you just sit there and you're thinking, it's not great, but...
Well, what do you want me to do? I don't have every answer just at my disposal. I have to think about some of them.
Well, I understand that, and those ones are good, but, I mean, there's been some great ones recently, just because it's the question, it's only a couple seconds, boom, you got
you know
answer.
What it is? Also, RJ's been better. Because there was a moment where I think Stump Rothenberg was big for RJ, and I don't mean that as a height joke. I think he didn't realize the magnitude of the work he had to put in. Because a bad question from a listener throws the entire segment off the rails.
It's a lot for anybody. It's a lot. I mean, I actually suggested this to management because the segment is so big that it would be nice to have somebody dedicated just to the segment, so we don't have to worry about this.
Like, can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was an excellent clue.
Oh, it's a great clue. You say, can
RJ
we get the date?
Lot.
He responds with the city.
Yeah, well, I thought he gave you too much. I was like, oh, Dave's going to get the answer now.
No, that was your Philip Seymour
Hoffman
moment.
Sorry, I'm rooting for you. I apologize. I'm rooting for you. I'm the bad guy here. I hope you get everyone right.
It would be great in the Buck Showalter story. Who, Rick? Who? Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yes. Phenomenal.
I stand by that.
Yeah, no, he would be great. You want to hear from a large man?
Hard body or no?
Yeah, I think hard body. I think if you hugged him, it'd be a hard body. Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Here is Aaron Judge. What led to your big night last night in Baltimore?
I was pissed I was off yesterday. You know, trying to get some good at-bats. You know, DJ Love the game. You know, hit by pitch, got on base for me. And, you know, whenever I see that guy on base, I'm like, hey, I got to pick it up. I got to drive him in or do something. So, you know, we got a good team. You know, just trying everybody doing their part and things are going to happen.
Don't you feel like every time he steps to the plate, he's going to hit a home run or hit the ball hard?
Especially when they throw it right over the plate. Especially when it's directly over the plate.
Why are you pitching to him?
Why does he have the day off? Like, I mean, so apparently they have no say. Like, so the whole notion that you could just walk into Aaron Boone's office and be like, hey, listen, I'm playing, that doesn't exist.
Sounded like he wasn't thrilled about it, didn't it?
Is pissed like, oh, I was happy about it?
Right.
So, yeah, it sounds like, listen, this is the schedule. We're sticking to it. You were healthy last year. This is how we're doing it this year, and we don't want to hear you complain about it.
And you have no say. So let's settle down. Yeah, exactly. MVP chance in Baltimore. What'd you think about hearing those last night?
Nothing. It's May. You know, we got a lot of work to do. You know, I like that we're in first place and we continue to roll. You know, let's just keep playing our game. We got a big game tomorrow, and let's do the same thing.
Do they really have a big game tomorrow?
All these games are big.
Well, it's certainly a game you would expect you can win, though.
Yeah, but don't you? I'd be tired of the noise, too. Like, they all hear this stuff. Your families hear it. Like, everyone complaining about not taking care of, you know, teams like Baltimore.
And they're rolling them now.
That's what they should be doing.
It's I got to tell you, man, watching the Orioles play is really, really rough.
It's not enjoyable, no.
How worried, you're not a Yankees fan, so I get it, but how worried, well, we can even ask RJ or Ray,
Chapman.
But yeah.
I'm not.
Not at all?
Well, I don't think they let it become a problem.
So you think they nipped this in the bud? If this continues, he loses that role, that job?
I think he's a smart guy. I mean, he sees what's happening. I mean, when he gets in trouble, this isn't like, hey, you know, this is your game to win or lose, that there's someone up in the bullpen getting ready. Like, they're not going to let it. This season is too important. These games are too important. This is the last year for Chapman. Like, if we have to move on, and you know, depending on where we are in the lineup or whatever it is, or you come in and you just can't control your fastball, we're not going to stick around.
No, it wasn't good again last night. I mean, he was a base hit away from losing that game. Here is Booney. What struggles are you seeing out of Chapman?
Maybe just a tick off. He's on the attack, though. I feel like he's getting a little bit better at attack. You know, just got to tighten up, you know, whether that's through delivery or what, but just a little better with his strike throwing.
He's not. You know what the weird thing is? His numbers are still good, like ERA good, but he gets in trouble very often.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there are times when he can't, like with his fastball, he can't find the strike zone, and you can tell. It's like you can tell real early that he can't.
If you were to lose the job, who would you go? King? Who would you go?
No, I think King's too important. Multiple innings, man. I mean, he was lights out again last night.
God, is he good?
He's so good.
So where would you go then?
Loizaga, Clay Holmes.
You know, King.
Yeah,
came
I think
in
maybe and, Holmes because you know, Loizaga hasn't been great this year either.
No, Loizaga has not been nearly as dominant, no. No, but this is it, though, man. I mean, this is it for Chapman. I mean, right? So, yeah, I mean, at some point, you're not bringing him back.
And this guy whose name is spelt like lasagna?
It's spelled nothing like lasagna, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. So, you're going to have to transition anyway. So, if he's giving you, you know, reason to be concerned during the course of a game, it's like, okay, here's a perfect opportunity. Because everyone wants to win. And we realized, like, we're going to move on from Chapman. Let's see if we have someone else that can do it.
Yep. I think Holmes. That would be on my money. We'll go on Holmes to be
the
next
guy. Yeah, I think Holmes now.
Up.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people were saying last year was Loizaga. Because he's got focused stuff,
yes.
too.
Yes, but he has not had a great start to the season. Let's go to Rich in Ringwood. Good morning, Rich. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big fan. Don't break up the show by no means. If Kay needs somebody, let him go ahead and get Nick from this morning. For sure. And
I don't think Michael would like Nick from Babylon. I don't think so.
2 points real quick. One, just on King real quick. King is the 1996 Mariano Rivera right now. He's the Rivera 2.0. He's the guy that comes in for multiple innings and gets the outs that you need. I would argue that he's more important than the closer right now because the closer sometimes faces the bottom of the lineup. King gets to the meat of it right off the bat.
Well, what did he go, three innings last night?
You got
a couple different guys that can do that too, which is huge.
The bullpen is sensational. I would be hesitant, Rich, to compare him to Mariano Rivera, but I understand.
No, no. 96. So in other words, not the closer Mariano, but the one that was setting it up for Wetland.
I understand what you're saying.
King is pitching right now. Yeah. Yep.
I understand what you're saying.
And for Judge, I would say the Yankees did it. I mean, listen, guys go off on their final year for the most part. Let him do his thing. I would argue that Judge needs, and I'm a big Yankee fan, born and raised in the Bronx, but I would argue that Judge needs the Yankees as much as the Yankees need Judge. You can't get a bigger stage than New York. The only reason I say that is that you're not going to get a bigger stage than New York.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand what you're saying, and that's important. But, I mean, it's also important because this is it for him. I mean, this is going to be his big deal, is to get as much money as possible.
And there's other places. Listen, nothing is going to be the stage of the Yankees. And I know they've said they're not interested, but the Mets? Be a pretty big stage.
Yeah, but it's still not the same, though. There's something to be said about being a Yankee.
Listen, you're right. You're right. It's nothing is the Yankees. Yankees are on a tier to themselves.
But let me ask you a question, though, because this would frustrate me if I'm Aaron Judge. Like, why is it that – is it because he was drafted and developed by the Yankees that he understands what it means to be a Yankee, that he would just naturally kind of give you a hometown discount because he wants to be a Yankee for life as opposed to me just, you know, taking, you know, $36 million for 9 years and giving it to Gerrit Cole?
I don't have the answer for you. I don't.
Like, why are those
I don't
guys?
Understand why they're playing this game with him. You could have had him locked up. You could have done it 2 years ago, right? We've seen them. They've done it. They did it with the Braves, right?
Yeah, but you could have done it this
offseason. The Rays have done it. The Indians have done it. The Yankees could have done it, but they're the Yankees, and they think we don't need to because we're flush with cash and we can wait to see how it plays out. Well, now it's playing out, and it's not playing out in your favor.
Yeah, you're flush with cash. Well, I don't know how flush with cash they are.
Well, compared to those other teams.
Okay, but they're also trying to be fiscally responsible, right? Like, they're not blowing through thresholds and everything else. So the longer you wait, the more money it costs you. If you're going to pay attention to the luxury tax and you're going to use that as a form of a hard salary cap, then, you know, every million counts. So if I could have got him for, you know, at the start of this season for 34 a year, as opposed to now I wait and someone offers him, you know, 36 a year over 7 years. That for me was my biggest holdup. I thought it would be years. You told me by offering him 7 on top of this one, so it would be 8 years, that wasn't a concern for you. You take it up to 37 years old. So then why are we haggling over the course of 7 years a couple
I don't know.
Bucks?
I can't give you the answer. I don't know. And if you lose him, there is going to be outcry like maybe you've never seen before.
If he continues what he's doing
if
now,
he yeah. does this and you wind up having winning the division, going to the World Series, maybe even potentially winning the World Series, and you don't bring him back, there's going to be an outcry, an outpouring of you got to be kidding me.
Well, but how are you replacing him?
You can't.
Because that would be the goal, right? Like we can replace that production for cheaper.
You can't. Unless you're somehow bringing Mike Trout into the fold, you can't replace that production. It's not possible.
But that's not cheaper, though, Dave.
And that's not attainable either. You understand what I'm saying. You want to say Juan Soto, but he's going to want to get paid too. And you're going to have to mortgage pieces of the future for him.
Yeah, you're trading. You're gutting your farm
system. You're depleting
your
farm system if you bring
him. And he already turned down $350. So,
right. I mean, I get it. You asked me a question. I'm thinking of solvable answers.
Well, no, but
no,
like the only thing. Like, listen, what you could sell to your fan base normally, what you sold to your fan base about not getting a big time shortstop is, hey, you know, we got two guys that are going to be great. Like Volpe could be the next, like he could be our guy moving forward. Where, yeah, we're all set. We don't want to clog it up. Like if you had that same thing in the outfield or in right field, like, hey, you know, we appreciate what he's done, and he wants a ton of money, and you know, we don't want to pay him late into his 30s, but we got this, you know, this top prospect that's going to step in. That's not the case either.
No. Doesn't exist. You don't have it. All right. We'll get back to the Yankees. We'll do more Mets. Rangers, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour. 1-800-919-3776. You need the number because right now we've rocked you right up to a little Stump Rothen.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You'd like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. And away we go. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the fine folks at Jackpocket. 1-800-919-3776. We start, as we always start, with Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DNR. David, I hear there's some kind of hockey game tonight. Is that true?
That is true right here on 98.7 ESPN. Starting at 7 o'clock, your New York Rangers take on the Carolina Hurricanes.
And, you know, I was going to listen on the sensational new app, but if you tell me 98.7, I'll go there too.
You can listen on the app as well. You download it, App Store, type in ESPN New York, app shows up, you have everything at your fingertips. Andy, what's the question du jour?
Today's question is about your opponent, the Hurricanes/Whalers organization. Ron Francis holds the team record for almost all offensive records. But can you tell me which player ranks number 2 in goals, assists, and points behind Francis?
You think Brindamore?
I'll give you a hint. There's a hint of New York flavor here.
So it's not Brindamore.
Nope.
You know who it is?
Yep.
So this guy's number 2, New York flavor.
Just a pinch of flavor.
Just a pinch. Just a touch of you.
Is it a Stahl brother? Or could it be Pat Verbeek, who also played there and played with the Rangers? Well, a hint. I'm going to say Eric Stahl, final answer.
And welcome aboard, Dave.
And welcome aboard.
Well done, my friend.
I wonder where the Beaker checks in, though. Because Pat Verbeek was...
For what? Goals or assists?
For all of it. He's got to be up there.
Yeah, but you also have, I mean...
Santiago tells me number 8 overall in goals for Carolina.
Number 8 for goals?
Yeah. So, 6th in points, 8th in goals. Quick work for Santiago there. He's on the ball today.
Quick
All work. Right. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve loves Stump Rothenberg. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. Since I got you with a hockey question Saturday, let's go to another hockey question. And
more
a goalie
hockey.
One at that.
Yeah, but I have my diamond in the rough now. If I struggle, I got Rick here to help me out. Bail me out.
That is important with a goalie question, so let's see. Nice and simple. Which goalie has the most career points?
I think we've done this one before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Most career points.
Forty-eight points.
Has a little Rick DiPietro in him.
Is it Brodeur? Barrasso?
Has a little Rick DiPietro in him.
That seems like it could be nasty.
No. No, it's not nasty. It wasn't meant to be nasty.
A little Rick DiPietro in him. So you, this is just easy for you.
Yeah. Well, because I think I've been asked this question before.
I don't know. I'm thinking Brodeur. Wah? But who has... No. Who has Hextall? Hextall scored a goal, I remember.
Yep. So did Chris Osgood.
And I think so Brodeur had a couple. Barrasso? I would say Barrasso, Brodeur, Hextall. Those are the three that...
Okay, which one of those guys catches with the same hand that I do?
Oh. Yeah, that I don't know. I think Hextall was a righty.
Hextall was a righty. He caught with his left hand, correct?
Yeah.
And so was Brodeur.
All right, so then Barrasso.
Final answer?
Final answer. Oh, there you go.
Nicely done.
There we go. We narrowed it down. Very well played. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I ask you this, Rick. What is Stump Rothenberg without Sal from Dutchess?
Oh. It's not even a segment.
It's not even a segment. Well, then let's make it a segment. Good morning, Sal.
Buongiorno, fellas. Okay, I'm going to ask you if you know this one.
All right.
Do you guys watch Friends at all?
Love Friends.
You do?
Love it.
Okay. If you guys want me to change the question, I'll change it. But here it goes. And what is Chandler's middle name? Chandler M. Bing. What does the M stand for? If you want me to change it, I'll change it.
Chandler M. Bing. Well, I don't know that I know this.
I'll change the question.
Do you know this, Rick?
I do.
You know this?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
I have no idea. I was watching something because I watched that.
It's probably a lady's name, wasn't it? What is it? Was his dad was like?
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Is it? I don't. You know it, so answer it.
Well, no, this is Stump Rothenberg. You answer it.
Well, but I don't know the answer.
It's Chandler Muriel Bing.
Muriel? What kind of name is Muriel?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful name.
What, Sal, what kind of, Muriel?
What kind of middle name is Hugh?
But I never heard the name Muriel.
Muriel. Same, close enough. Muriel.
Oh, Muriel.
Yeah, Muriel.
Not Muriel.
It's Muriel, Muriel.
You're
going to pronounce it. What's your middle name?
Mine is Hugh.
That's terrible. I love that name.
All right. What a good show. Well, that was some kind of question, huh?
Well, he would have changed it. He told you he would have changed it.
Muriel. Well, let's go with you. What do you have there?
Oh, I got a hockey question, buddy.
Of course you do. Go ahead.
All right. So, NHL.
Yeah.
New York Rangers.
NHL. Okay.
New York Rangers. Yeah. Keep it in your warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, Igor Shesterkin is most likely going to win the Vezina Trophy for most outstanding goalie. Can you tell me the other NHL, excuse me, not NHL, other Rangers goalies to win the Vezina Trophy?
Jokinen.
Correct.
Lundqvist.
Yep.
You don't want to tell me how many there are, right? You're going to want me to guess that.
Well, I can tell you how many there are if you want.
Let me see if I need your help. Jokinen, Lundqvist.
It was Jockman and somebody else in that year.
The Beezer?
Beezer won it.
I think Gilles Villemure won.
Yep. One more. Early.
Davy Kerr?
My man. Correct.
Look at you. Had you not said early, I wouldn't have gotten that one. But I'll take it.
Take it.
I will take it. Ryan Saratoga. Ryan, you are on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Ryan.
On. Here's my question. There's only two players in MLB history on their rookie season to record 100 hits, 100 walks, and 100 RBIs in the season. Can you name them both, please?
100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs. Now, Fred Lynn was MVP his rookie year, so I wonder if could be him.
It's a tough question.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Did Ichiro have 100 RBIs in his rookie season?
There's no way Ichiro had 100 RBIs. Are these very old-time players?
Well, I will give you one hint, and then there is no more hints because hints are not fair.
Yeah.
One is old, one is relatively recent. Well, one is...
You said there are two or there are three?
Two.
All right, so I'm sure Babe Ruth did it. I don't know that he did it with the Red Sox, so I would say that's not the answer. I would think Gehrig. I would think Jimmy Fox. Mel Ott would be another thought.
It was 100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs?
100 runs, I thought.
Correct.
Oh, 100 hits. 100
runs, no. 100 runs,
yeah.
100 RBIs, 100 walks.
100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs.
Well, doesn't Judge, I mean, what was Judge's rookie season?
I don't think I know.
No, that wasn't his rookie season. Yeah, it was. That was his rookie year that Judge had that season.
You think he, yeah.
It was Judge. Judges has to be one of them.
All right, so Judge. What do you think?
So that's a new one. So now come up with the old one.
Well, it's not so easy.
Didn't you say, did Fred Lynn win the MVP his rookie year?
Yeah, but I don't, yeah, he did in 75. But I would think it, I don't know. So here's my guess. Lynn, Ott, Gehrig would be my guesses.
So go with your, I mean, the guy won the MVP his rookie season. I mean, I'd have to think that he had over 100 hits, right? 100
runs. But 100
runs?
Walks is different. All right. No, yeah.
No, he had 100. So 100 walks, too?
Yeah, you said 100 walks, right?
100 walks.
Yeah. Oh.
100 plus.
100 plus, right.
100 plus walks. So I don't, he's not giving us, he didn't seem like nervous that you said Fred Lynn. I would take Fred Lynn out of it.
He didn't jump to like, was that your final answer?
It's about nothing, Rick.
So we have a name.
I don't know.
I'm going to say Mel Ott, but I don't know the answer.
So that's your final answer?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so you got Aaron Judge, 2017. Ted Williams, 1939.
All right, well, good for you. RJ, your five-pack.
We got one of two.
Well, you got it. I didn't. RJ, your five-pack.
All righty. How about some Rangers and Hurricanes colleges?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, I am kidding.
Okay, good.
That would have been great, RJ. Oh.
I'm sorry to kick you while you're down.
Nice.
He is down. You can hear it in his voice.
I'm going to build you back up.
I'm fine.
We're going to start really, really simple. If you lose this, you should leave the show. Bruce Smith.
You know this one, Rick?
I'm not playing this game.
I know Virginia Tech.
Out.
Do you know where he went?
I am checked out.
you said Virginia Tech.
Oh, right.
Horace Grant.
Now, Horace Grant, now this always confuses me.
Oh, no.
Well, because his brother Harvey.
There's Harvey, there's Jeremy, there's.
Right. I think Harvey. went to Oklahoma. I think Horace was Clemson.
That was correct.
Okay.
How about Altoon?
Wisconsin.
Question mark, but correct.
Yes.
Easier, Reggie Miller.
UCLA.
And finally.
As did Cheryl Miller went to USC.
Not Shannon, but Sterling Sharp.
South Carolina.
Yeah, well done.
Where did Shannon go, Rick?
Shannon went to... I thought I heard him say this the other day. I don't know.
Savannah State.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, well, you should.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.